to Paul's discussion of the possible modification of council priorities, and that's behind tab one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I do that, I'd quickly like to introduce Rachel Feeney. It's the third employee, or actually she was the first one we hired. Rachel, if you want to stand up. Rachel is, you might know her from her work on the Northeast Consortium with Chris Glass. She's currently a PhD candidate at UNH doing looking at social impacts of catch shares. She's got a Master of Science and a BA in Geology. She also at one time was a legislative aide to Congressman Allen. So the key there is that she is a PhD candidate. We've hired her to work on our social impact assessments. We believe, as the industry has said many times, we need to improve the way we address National Standard 8. So we're delighted to have Rachel come aboard. She's been with us for 2 weeks. She's met with all the staff to talk about how they address National Standard 8 and the social impact assessment. She's met with the region. She's met with the Science Center. And she will be, unless any of you have any problems, she will be discussing social impacts with you folks as well to give her an insight into what you may be looking for as part of meeting our NEPA requirements. So you'd welcome Rachel aboard. Okay, behind tab one, number two, draft management priorities. When I met with the executive committee back in February, the word on the street was that sturgeon, the letter we got on sturgeon, we would address FMP by FMP, which means groundfish, monkfish, scallops, dogfish, and skates. We would handle those actions FMP by FMP. So that's the way we discussed it at executive committee. Now there appears that we may be able to do a, if the council wants, instead of doing it FMP by FMB, FMP, we may be able to take a more holistic approach and do it by gears and have like an omnibus amendment to each plan dealing with primarily monkfish gear, with gillnet gear. So, but the word is not... It's a little too early to decide that. I thought we'd have the biological opinion by now, and we don't. We're expecting the biological opinion on the actual impacts of our fisheries and gears in June. So we have some time. I think it's June, but the service can chime in. So right now, we don't know whether we'll be handling it FMP by FMP, which is considerably more work on our priority schedule, considerably more if we do it FMP by FMP. If we do it in one action, there's still impact because the expert PDTs from groundfish, skates, etc., would be involved in, if we were to take drop monkfish IFQ and have Phil Herring do one omnibus amendment, it would still take the other PDTs to weigh in on some of the actions. So nevertheless, as we look at revisiting priorities, addressing sturgeon is going to have a significant impact. So
I can clarify what the intent is. Mr. Chairman, may I?
Thank you, Dan.
Yes, the we'll get more on this tomorrow for the protected resources presentation, but the data associated, the NEFOPS data associated with Atlantic sturgeon bycatch is better if one looks at across gear rather than on an FMP basis. And we intend and hope that the council will agree to proceed with the batched consultation, which would require just one document for that. And so I hope that informs this conversation. Because we're in the midst of shifting gears, we had started out with an FMP by FMP consultation. We're our timeline has changed a little bit. Scallops is broken out because we've made significant progress on that. So we're looking at that in early June. Lobster, which isn't your concern, isn't also broken out. That'll be late June. But we're looking at August 1st, August 4th, that time frame for delivery of the biological opinion for a batched consultation.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. So in terms of discussing priorities, I think let's assume that if they're batching by gear, let's assume for the sake of discussion today that the council decides to do an omnibus type amendment. Instead of FNP by FNP, committee by committee, we have the PDTs involved and one committee addressing several plans. If that's the case, I think that, again, there's an impact on groundfish because Tom would be involved in that aspect as part of the PDT. But anyway, you see that groundfish would be impacted with addressing sturgeon. I think in monkfish, what I would do is have asked that we delay any efforts on the IFQ program in monkfish and that Phil Herring be used as the principal lead in developing the omnibus amendment. So there would necessarily be a delay in the monkfish IFQ action. Sea scallops would continue with D having to address some of the sturgeon issues, but the priorities remain the same. Herring, no impact. We're still looking at making final decisions in the herring FMP in June, and then right into preparing specs for herring in 2012. Ecosystem-based management, Andy would continue on ecosystem-based management. He's been working with the chairman and developing the PDT in a committee, so we'll continue with ecosystem-based management. SBRM amendment, it appears for sake of discussion that there won't be a committee and that we would assign staff to be member of the FMAT and then bring all decisions on that singular focus prioritization to the council. So there'd be no committee. Whiting, looking at the additional actions, it appears that, Andy is continuing with whiting and ecosystem management and may have to do some skates. So in all reality, once the amendment that we're working on now for ACLs and AAMs is completed, Andy would be focused the rest of the year on doing the ecosystem-based management, and we would delay attention to whiting limited entry. In terms of skates, again, if we do batch and have one omnibus amendment for sturgeon, Andy still, as chair of the PDT, would probably need some input into the omnibus amendment. And lastly, as you recall, we developed over this year a draft vision statement, and our intent was to go out and hold a series of public hearings up and down the coast about the council's vision for the next 5 or so years. And we discussed at executive committee that given the increased workload with sturgeon and Gulf of Maine cod and everything else on our table, and given the fact that when we developed this vision about Catch Share's ecosystem, we thought we were much better along in science, than we really find ourselves now. So I think we've got bigger issues to address in our vision, and we talked about it at executive committee. Let's take back the vision statement. Let's take a look at, do we need to add something about the state of the science and what kind of science we need, and have some focus about management and science, given now that things have changed and we're not in the same place we thought we were to address things. So we're recommending that we delay the scoping and the development and the input on our vision statement and readdress that next year. And then continuing on with 2011, we'll continue habitat, research steering, SSC, and enforcement and safety. So I guess in summary, the big issues are delaying vision, delaying whiting, delaying monkfish IFQ, and addressing sturgeon. And that's basically it. And again, we won't know anything definitive until the June or August council. June for sturgeon? No?
August.
So we won't know till really our September meeting, but we certainly can discuss the planning that the executive committee talked about here.
I have Tom and then Mary Beth and then.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To Paul's last point, if we're not officially receiving a biological opinion until August, our next council meeting would be in September, which is the first opportunity where we'd set our priorities for next year. It's not clear to me if we're not getting an official biological opinion to respond to that we'd actually need to change our work priorities for this year. We're already into next year, in my view. I thought we were going to see the biological opinion much sooner, and we'd have to respond to that in a more timely way. But I don't see any need really to delay the monkfish amendment, which has already been, I think, stalled considerably, which is kind of its own topic altogether. But I really don't see why we'd need to go through a wholesale process or discussion about what we would put off this year when, in fact, we're not going to really need to identify how to approach this until we get a biological opinion from the service.
Mary Beth.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would agree with those comments, and that was exactly my question, is what requirements do we have to in the timing to respond to this? And certainly for the current framework for scallops, if we receive a biological opinion in August, we will not be addressing this in Framework 24. That's not possible. The framework we'll be making final decisions on in November. So it won't happen. And so I'm inclined to agree with Tom, and I guess just a question. And in light of that, is there a requirement that the council drop everything it's doing and respond to this biological opinion before the end of the year? Or should we just incorporate this discussion into our priorities for the November meeting?
Dan?
I'll speak initially to the timeline. For scallops, that is broken out, and that'll be done just for that FMP, and we intend to have that around the 1st of June. So that BO will be available at that time.
Well, just in response to that again, having that BIOP available the 1st of June for this current framework is very problematic. We're setting specifications. We have already outlined the other alternatives and measures that would be considered in this, and the PDT is well along in that analysis. In addition, we have to consider the turtle biop in this framework, as we did in the last, and we will do again. But to get a biop in June, I'd have to refer to Deidre on this, but, the committee, the ability of the committee to respond to that within the current time frame for this framework is very, very difficult. I'm not sure that that's doable.
George Darcy.
A couple of things. First of all, we don't know what the biop's going to say. It may not require you to do anything in scallops. I don't know, but it may not require the council to do anything. Secondly, my understanding is that for any of these biological opinions, there's no statutory time frame in which the council has to do something. It would certainly be prudent to start doing something as soon as you know that there's a need to do it, but I don't think there's any deadline by which you have to do it for any of the fisheries. Does that help?
Actually, that helps quite a bit, but it does, because if we receive this in June, maybe it'll be available for our June council meeting. Maybe it won't. It's just difficult for me to figure out how the council is supposed to respond. We'll have the information that says either we need to do something or not do something. We'll have a framework that's well underway in development, and we don't meet again until September. I guess we'll just we'll just have to wait and see. It's very difficult, though.
Dave Preble?
Yeah, I'm all set. My points were made. Tom made one, and Mary Beth made the other.
Dave Cato.
Yeah. I'm going to put in a shameless plug to keep working on Whiting. I mean, we just held public hearings for Whiting and very sparsely attended. But the comments that everybody made is they didn't want to come and talk about the Whiting Amendment. They wanted to talk about limited entry. And the same thing I got was the minute the ink was dry on the interim action for groundfish, well, what are you going to do about whiting when these people can't fish for cod? They're all going to go whiting fishing. So, you know, I understand the bind we're in, but, you know, this is an open access fishery. It's basically soaking up all the excess capacity in New England at this point. It can only soak up so much.
Jim Odlin.
Yeah, hearing the reports from both Dan and George Darcy, I'm going to make a motion that we not make any change to our priorities at this time. We don't have the information on sturgeon to work forward, and I think September will be... I'm going to make a motion that we not change the priorities at this time.
Seconded by Dave Preble.
The rationale is we don't have the biological opinions to move forward, so that will be more appropriate to take up in September.
Discussion. Mark.
Now, why are we talking about this now when we have a presentation tomorrow morning on the implications of ESA listing to New England Council FMPs? Seems to me that this motion's premature. Now, as of April 6th, the consequences of having a sturgeon in your gear is quite a bit different than it used to be. seems to me that this motion ought to be action ought to be postponed until after that presentation tomorrow.
Are you making that in the form of a motion to table this till time certain?
Not without some more guidance from the chair. I don't know how your schedule is going to line up tomorrow.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Well, I don't think you'll get any more definitive information than you just got, that we're not going to get the biological opinion until later. We don't know what it's going to say. They're not going to tell you what it's going to say. So I think this motion is pretty pertinent to listening to the bosses.
Further discussion? Mark.
I just have a question for Paul. Just to clarify something, you mentioned that the work on monkfish IFQs would be delayed, but given that the committee has decided to include alternatives that range from tweaks to present management all the way to IFQs, so you actually meant Amendment 6 in general, right?
Anything else on the committee? Go to the audience. Any comments?
Thank you. I'm Bob Maxwell, Scallop, and also Monk Fishery, New Jersey. I support you voting on this in reference to the Monk Fishery with the catch share. I believe the council voted on going forward with catch shares, and it's been pretty close to 2 years now, and I can't understand why we haven't, nothing's happened in that aspect, and I would like to hear something from somebody. I just don't understand that.
I'm sorry. I was looking up something on one of the committee reports here at the same time. In your question again, Bob?
I can't understand why there hasn't been any forward motion in reference to the catch share in the monk fishery. We've been supposedly going forward with this for 2 years now, and now of all times we have the sturgeon issue coming up, and I think that this could be a crucial point for the monk fishery if they had the possibility to do something with catch shares in order to help eliminate interaction with the sturgeon. It's just mind-boggling that we haven't really gotten anywhere unless I don't know the progress that we've made in the catch share issue with monk fishery, and I'm just asking if somebody could put that up to date here.
Jim, Mark, do you have any comments on that?
Well, in January, the committee gave some direction to the PDT. The PDT has been working on that issue, on some of that direction. Some of the PDT members have been preoccupied with other tasks, and the sturgeon issue has come up as well. So I can speak for why it was delayed from that point on.
Okay, thank you. I just think that we should have diligently moved forward on this, and there's two components to this FM, the monk FMP, and it's the New England and then the Mid-Atlantic. And the whole industry deserves the right to take a look at something that the council and the PDT put together to let us understand if we go forward with this or not. And I just think we made strides to go forward with this, and we ought to continue that. And I hope you appreciate and understand what I'm saying. I'm speaking for quite a few people that are in the monk fishery, and we would certainly appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Dan?
Push the mic on. Dan Farnham, Montauk, New York. I'm a whiting fisherman. I own a full-time whiting dragger that fishes out of Massachusetts. I'm here with two other fishermen in the back. I don't know if they're going to talk or not, but whiting, we've been on the back burner with the council since 2000 with whiting. Back when Amendment 12 was done and developed in 2000, there was a limited access part of that plan that was not approved by the fishery service. And we've had the rebuilding trip limits in place since then. And just about every year since then, we've been on the priority list, but bumped for one reason or another. And some reasons you can justify, I agree with Bill, but at this point in time, I just hate the thought of being bumped again. Right now, we're still operating underneath a 30,000-pound trip limit, even though you're going to vote, I think, on Thursday on Amendment 19 to the Whiting Plan to approve a TAL that's for Silver Hake that's four times more than what we're landing right now. The full-time whiting boats are pretty much maxed out with that trip limit. I mean, we did about 75 trips last year for over 2 million pounds of whiting, and we burnt 150,000 gallons of fuel doing so. Not to badmouth my fuel guys, he's sitting in the audience here, but it's a real expensive proposition to go back and forth where we fish 75 times a year. We steam for 24 hours, we fish for 6 hours, and we steam home. At this point, we can do a trip limit increase in whiting through a framework action. Might be able to do it through a spec package, I don't know. But to hear talk about bumping the Whiting plant again, it's just not right. I mean, every year it's the same thing. You know, a lot of people land a handful of whiting. There's a lot of whiting fishermen, but a handful of people land most of the whiting. The three fishermen in this room land close to 50% of the whiting landings every year. You have a letter in your packet on Amendment 19 from Hank Lackner out of Montauk. If you put him into the mix, we're over half the whiting landed. And he's for limited access and a trip limit increase also. I think I'm just about through all my points. So now here we go. Oh, fuel, I talked about. Average landings of 15 million pounds a year from 2000 to 2000, from 05 to 2010 here. And that's 25% of the proposed TAL. So I talked about that. I think that's it. Thank you.
Dan, just to be perfectly clear, you support this motion, correct? Not changing our current priority.
Absolutely. I support that.
Thank you. I've got Maggie, then Vito.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maggie Raymond, Associated Fisheries of Maine, speaking in support of the motion. And I'd like to follow the comments that Bob Maxwell raised about concern about the lack of progress in the monkfish FMP. In March 2011, the Monkfish Advisory Panel provided the committee with a list of problems that they have in the fishery. Those problems are real and they are significant. And to date, there have been no options developed to address those problems. The advisors recommended potential solutions, including catch shares, but also including potentially permit stacking and days at sea leasing. Again, no options have been developed to address the problems. In January, the committee directed the PDT to develop management options specifically to address those problems, including options for stacking, leasing, and catch shares. And it is now the end of April, and there are still no options developed to address the problems identified by the advisors more than a year ago. So we would support more than continuing on with your priority schedule, but actually realizing some action on the monkfish plan, because nothing has happened in 2 years. Thank you.
Vito?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vito Calamo, United States Senator Scott Brown representing. I have very mixed emotions. I am actually the chairman of the Whiting Advisory Committee. I don't speak as chairman today, but I just wanted to tell you I am the chairman. And when we had our meetings down in the Rhode Island, it was a different time. I've never been in favor of limited entry because I like people to fish and get in and out of fisheries. And I understand these days to do good management, maybe there has to be some limitations. But with the survey or non-survey saying that the codfish have been depleted to a point where we have to take reductions in that fishery, if we stick with this motion and we go to a limited entry on whiting, a lot of small vessels that would survive by catching some whiting because of the codfish are not there. And I represent the Commonwealth of Massachusetts for Senator Scott Brown. And that's a fishery that we lived upon for years. I mean, we had people that went whiting fishery for 6-7 months a year, like the boys from New Jersey do it full time. I know I'm kind of rambling on here, Mr. Chairman, but I have very mixed emotions. If, as far as the whiting fishery, I don't want to see the limited entry come in at this time. As far as increasing a trip limit to the boats that go way offshore, because their expenses are tremendous, to give them another 10,000 pounds per trip, I am in favor. The whiting fishery looks very promising, and there seem to be a lot of whiting around, and the price has been good. Yes, if you have a big influx of a lot of big vessels, I think you'll have a problem. But whiting fisheries, for the longest time, has been almost a penny fish, you know, never reaching a dollar. I mean, last year was a good year, and the year before was decent, but last year was a banner year. I think you have to look at what's going on. Things have changed. Talking to Bill Camp over there, and he's right, and I feel the same way. Things are changing in the ocean, Mr. Chairman. It isn't just fishing anymore. It's weather conditions and the tides and the solarium, and it's unbelievable what fish, different fish are traveling up into my area that I've never seen in my lifetime, and I'm third generation fisherman out of the Port of Gloucester. So I'm not in favor of this motion the way it sits, because it would eliminate people from changing over to maybe smaller vessels that have been hurt with the sectors. So I guess I'm not in favor of it at this time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Okay, how about now? First of all, I'd like to say I agree with most of what Mr. Farnham said. I am a whiting fisherman. I own two boats that pretty much... Oh, I'm Peter Repose. I'm sorry. So I haven't done this in a long time, Mom. And I would be in favor of some sort of limited entry, even if you use the first of the year. I mean, if somebody's caught 1 pound of whiting, I don't think they should be put out of the business, because I am not in favor of limited entry, but there's a lot of horsepower out there that could change over into what we're doing, and I think it's very important that the council not shelve the whiting and come up with a plan so they can't jump in. I can't jump into scalloping. I can't jump into ground fishing anymore, because my big boat, I left pretty much whiting fishing, so I don't have a big ground fish quota to pick from anymore. There's been a lot of people put out of a lot of stuff, and it's just the way it's been, and it might end up having to be that way for everybody, which I'm not in favor of, but it's just a sign of the times. So, and I do support an increase of maybe 10,000 or so. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Anyone else? Back to the council, I have Jim, and then Laura.
Well, I just was going to point out that the specifics of the whiting plan and the monkfish plan should be discussed under the agenda items for those particular fisheries management plans. All this is saying we're going to continue to work on. It's not telling us what trip limit we're going to pick for whiting. It's not telling us whether we're going to have limited entry or not in whiting. It's just telling us that we're going to continue to work on that particular management plan, and the same thing with monkfish. So I would suggest that the debate of what we should be doing in monkfish and what we should be doing in whiting is would be better held when we discuss those particular management plans in the due course of this meeting on the agenda items.
Laura.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim covered my point.
Sally.
For those points or for those reasons, I'm hesitant to vote in favor of this, but I mean, actually, I will vote for it for now. But we've got so much more on the agenda that could help inform a decision about what our priorities should be. I'm concerned about making a decision without all of the information that we need. This motion would have been, I think, better considered tomorrow morning, at the very least, after we get the briefing on Atlantic sturgeon. But I'm not sure what direction the council is going to go at this point. But It seems like we'd be acting without full information, which we know we're going to get tomorrow morning.
Well, certainly from the standpoint of if we get information that impacts this decision today, the issue can be revisited during subsequently, correct, Gene?
Yeah, as long as you make that clear, that that's your intent and there's no objection.
Further discussion? I'll call the question. All those in favor so indicate. Thirteen in favor, opposed, one. Two opposed, abstention, one. 13-1, the motion carries. Paul, anything else under priorities? Okay. 12:22 now, we'll break for lunch, and I would ask people to be back at 1:30, 1:30, 1:30, 1:30, 1:30, 1:30, 1:30, 1:30, 1:30, 1:30, 1:30.